نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدى محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. All praise is due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one can guide him. And I publicly bear witness, without any coercion or compulsion, that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness also that Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qurashi al-Hashimi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam is his abd and his rasul. As to what follows, surely the best speech is Al-Qur'an, the book of Allah. And the best guidance is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all things in this dunya, the things that affect our deen, are newly invented matters, muhdathat. And every muhdatha is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah, every innovation, is a going astray. And every astray will lead the practitioner of that bid'ah, because of it, to the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Muslim with this deen of Islam. And this deen of Islam is complete. Unfortunately, the Muslims themselves are incomplete. We've been given a deen, a way of life, based on the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which is perfect, and an individual, male or female, who accepts Islam, when they accept this deen of Islam, those individuals who have been made incomplete by Allah, meaning imperfect by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the duty to live a perfect deen. I'd just like to remind all of us, for those of us who may not know, and I don't see how you can know because you live with yourself, we're not perfect, and we should never, ever, ever look at ourselves as being perfect, relating ourselves to our deen. What I mean by that is, we should never ever think that because Islam is perfect that we should look for perfection in any visual, including, and this may sound kind of strange, including Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what I mean by that is that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a perfect man because of being a human being, nor was he a perfect man as an Arab, nor was he ma'asum naturally. Ma'asum meaning that he is infallible. He was only perfect and only ma'asum because of the wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down on him. And we should never ever forget this, because some Muslims, unfortunately, for people lower than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lower than the Prophet, they take their imams or the students of knowledge or the scholars of Islam as being perfect, and they take, and justifiably, because of ignorance or not being aware of the principles of Tawheed pertaining to the prophets and messengers, that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ma'asum before he received revelation. The messenger of Allah was not ma'asum before he received the revelation. But He was perfect in the sense that every single thing he did, even his mistakes, were divinely revealed mistakes, which made him perfect in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him, once again, even in his mistakes, so that we can know what to do when we make those mistakes. For instance, like sajda to sahw. When we forget, we make a mistake, we increase, decrease in our salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made the similar mistakes, and alhamdulillah, Allah caused him to make those mistakes so that we can know what to do. And I think many, many Muslims sleep on this. Many Muslims, they sleep on this issue of benefiting by mistakes, realizing that we're not perfect, and knowing that Islam is a deen practice, and I have to reiterate and reemphasize, imperfect creatures trying to practice a perfect way of life. I don't know if people really understand, if you understand exactly what I'm saying. Imperfect people trying to perform a perfect way of life. And because of that, Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has prescribed, not suggested, but has prescribed tajdeed in Islam. He has prescribed tajdeed in Islam. Tajdeed is a word, an Arabic word, that comes from the verb jaddada, and yujaddidu, and the verbal noun is tajdeed. It means to renew something. This is the topic today, inshallah ta'ala. The renewal or the revivalist system or the revivalist movement in Islam. When you think about Islam, you would think peripherally, why does Islam need to be renewed if it's perfect? Why does it need to be renewed? You just said that Islam was perfect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in His Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I've completed my favor for you. I am pleased for what I have chosen for you as a way of life, and that which I have chosen for you as a way of life is this perfect deen, al-Islam. And you hear many people among the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah always, over and over and over and over again, saying that Islam needs no alteration. Islam is not a coat, like a coat that you have to take down the hem or pull up the sleeve. It's perfect. Then why do we need tajdeed? And why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in a hadith collected by Imam Abu Dawood and others, why did the Prophet make this statement? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى رَأْسِ كُلِّ سَنَةٍ وَكُلَّ مِئَةٍ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed will send to this ummah at the head of every 100 years someone who's going to renew the deen for the ummah. And some of the brothers, I can see them in front of me right now. I can see them smiling, because probably until we came into the time span between the so-called Nation of Islam and the leadership of Imam Wallace Muhammad, we probably, the vast majority of us who are probably members of that, sitting here, of that group, probably had never even heard of the word Mujaddid. Never even heard of the word. And I remember, and probably like I always do, get in trouble and get on the hit list, and literally now the hit list, because there's some people now who have put a tape out against me because I wanted to defend Islam and defend the Noble Quran, the translation of the Noble Quran. And those of you who haven't heard it, I don't usually push it like this, but I suggest you do, because there's people who are trying to get you not to read that good translation of Quran called the Noble Quran. Now they have a tape out on me called The Hot Air of Dawood Adib. The Hot Air of Dawood Adib. I haven't heard it yet, but I heard it was high powered. I'm waiting for my copy, inshallah. But those of us who used to belong to the so-called Nation of Islam, and then when Imam Wallace al-Din Muhammad came in, we probably had never heard of this word Mujaddid before. Probably never. And it's very interesting, about maybe 9 or 10 years ago, I should say maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, I remember Imam Waris Ibn Muhammad saying to the followers that they were only going to use Bukhari and Muslim. We weren't going to look at the other hadith. We're going to only use Bukhari and Muslim, which I thought was a very, very good thing. But when I was confronted by one of the followers of Imam Waris Ibn Muhammad about the issue of tajdeed, the subject today, about renewing Islam, I shocked him when I told him, you know, the Imam says that you should only use Bukhari and Muslim. And you say that he is the Mujaddid. Do you know that the hadith that talks about the Mujaddid is not in al-Bukhari and Muslim? So what are you going to do? Are you going to follow the Mujaddid's orders and only use Bukhari and Muslim, which will be exclusively mutually exclusive and box you out of the issue that the hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood? How are you going to deal with that? Are you following me, brothers and sisters? Secondly, there's no hadith that mentions the word Mujaddid. It doesn't exist. There's no hadith that mentions the word Mujaddid, a person who's going to renew Islam. It does not exist. Sahih hadith, Hasan hadith, Da'if hadith, Mu'adal hadith, Munkar hadith, Mursal hadith, Matruk hadith, Mawdu' hadith, no type of hadith. It doesn't even exist. The word Mujaddid is not mentioned in any hadith. But what's mentioned is the hadith that I just stated, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send to this ummah at the top or the beginning of every 100 years, one من يجدد لها دينها, a person who's going to renew this deen. So we go back to the issue: does Islam need to be renewed? For those of us once again who remember reading this book called The Religion of Islam, written by that kafir, that mushrik kafir Muhammad Ali, from that Quran that we used to read, Mawlana Muhammad Ali. I say he's a kafir, and if you don't know that, you should know that he's a kafir. He's not a Muslim. Muhammad Ali was a kafir. He was a member of the Anjuman Ahmadiyya Society, organization from Lahore, Pakistan. He was a kafir. In his book that he wrote called The Religion of Islam, which many of us were reading back then, trying to come to the Sunnah. I'm looking at Hawari, he remembers. We were reading that book diligently down on South Orange Avenue, trying to come to the Sunnah. And he said in his book, if my memory serves me correctly, that the meaning of a Mujaddid is one who renews Islam when error has crept into it. Or one who comes at the end of 100 or the beginning of 100 years every century to renew Islam because of the error that has crept into it. Something like this. So we find from that definition of this kafir, which he's actually right, he was right on this, that Islam is perfect, but things come into the belief system of the Muslims, things come into the practice of the Muslims' lives that is not a part of Islam. And I've said it before, and this is something that we all have to do from the meaning of hadith, is make tajdeed, starting with ourselves first. Because if we wait for a mujaddid, an actual individual to come, if we wait for the person to come and renew at the beginning of every 100 years, then we're going to be lost. If we just wait around for someone to renew our Islam in our own individual lives. And that's why, like I said, I've said it before in the past, each and every individual Muslim should be like those big department stores. They should close down shop maybe once or twice a year and take inventory to see what's on their shelves in their hearts, on the shelves of their practices, to see if I'm actually practicing Islam the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, and the way the Sahaba understood it and practiced it. And whatever we do, we should stop 5 years after being a Muslim, 10 years after being a Muslim, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years after being a Muslim, for some of those who have connected their ex to Islam, saying, I've been a Muslim for 26 years. I was David 19X. Now I'm Dawood Adib. I've been a Muslim 29 years. You should check your life. You should close down shop. And you should look on the shelf of your being. Look on the shelf of your heart and your nafs. And say, Maybe, oh, this has been here since 1963. This is stale now. Let me get rid of it. And how did this get on the show? And why am I doing this? How many times a day do we actually check our salah? Do we check our salah to renew our salah? How many times a day do we check our fasting, or our weekly fasting, to see if I'm fasting according to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah? Or our hajj, or how we deal with our wives, or how we deal with our husbands, or how we deal with each other. With each other, as a community, as masjid, organizations. We should go back to see how the Sahaba received it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and make muraqaba, introspection, self-introspection every day. The tajdeed begins with the individual. As for those individuals who came through history, who made tajdeed, those individuals weren't Ibn Taymiyyah firstly, or Ahmed ibn Hanbal, or Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, or Uthman Danfodio in Africa, or Shah Waliullah in India, in New Delhi. All those individuals like Imam al-Ghazali, al-Zuhri, Imam al-Shafi'i, who was considered the first mujaddid of his time. Those individuals are not the individuals we should look at first. The individuals who were the first people of tajdeed were al-anbiya wal-rusul, the prophets and the messengers. They were the first mujaddidun, because they came as part of their occupations, their wazaif, as part of their duties and jobs. They came to totally change the belief of the people they came to. Go back to the Quran and look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Salih, the prophet Salih alayhi salatu salam, and how he dealt with those people, with the she-camel, the naqatullah. Go back and see what Nuh, the prophet Noah alayhi salatu salam, did. For how many years? 60? 80? 100? 950 years he gave dawah, trying to make tajdeed, trying to change the thinking of the people. For 950 years. Go back and look at Ibrahim. And look what he did. Smashing the idols, rejecting the kufr and the shirk of his people. As a young man, he was making tajdeed. Look at Isa alayhi salatu salam. He was making tajdeed. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the long chain and the finality of all the prophets and messengers, he was the best imam al-mujaddidin. He was the imam of the mujaddid. Because he came to a people who were totally out of it. People who bragged about how many women they slept with last night. People who used to write poetry about how many jugs of alcohol they used to drink. People who used to brag about how they buried their female daughters alive. Can you imagine that? Taking your daughter, kicking and struggling with you, and holding on to your shirt, holding on to your pants while you drop her in the ground and put sand on top of her. Can you imagine the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coming to a people like this? And then as time went on, the Messenger of Allah has already told us, after the khair, there's going to be shar. After the good, there's going to be evil. خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The best of people is my generation. Then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. And when they ask him about the ones who came after them, the third generation, you remember what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Things start getting worse. Things start getting darker. The plot starts thickening. And we, no doubt from that hadith, we're the worst. Because there's no Muslims right now after us. Because we're the Muslims for this time right now. So we have to be the worst, right? So for surety, we definitely need tajdeed. We need some renewal. And as we mentioned, this renewal starts with every single individual. And the first thing in that individual that must be renewed is their iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna al-iman," that surely iman yakhlaqu fi ahadikum kama yakhlaqu thawb. That iman wears out inside of one of you, just like a shirt or a thawb wears out. That iman wears out inside of one of you, just like a thawb or a dress
or jilbab, or overgarment, wears out. Fas'alullah. He said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah. This is what you should ask Allah. You, me, all the Muslims. أن يجدد إيمان في قلوب الإيمان في قلوبكم. You should ask Allah every day, every hour, every minute, every millisecond, or Allah renew. يجدد الإيمان في قلوبكم. To renew إيمان in your heart. This is what we should be asking Allah. And this is where our tajdeed begins. It doesn't begin by the false notion of thinking that the mujaddid for this century was Muhammad Abdu. It doesn't begin with that. Muhammad Abdu of a few decades ago, who tried to make some changes for the Muslim Ummah, and his base was in Egypt. And at the same time, to prove that he wasn't the leader or the reviver of a Dawah Salafiyya, at the same time, he introduced Masonry to the Muslim world. He is responsible for introducing the Masonic order to the Muslim world, and that's why right now many of the scholars in Azhar and many of the Muslim presidents around the world are Masons, because of this man that was supposed to have been a reviver of Islam, that many of us are receiving the byproduct of his thought. Many of us, and don't even know it, our political ties with the Kuffar comes directly from that man. Is this a part of Islam? Is this a part of Islam? No, we should renew our Islam. You read the text, you read the tafsir and the translation of the Quran by Muhammad Asad. Big, thick translation like this. The brother's shaking his head. Big, thick translation like this. Muhammad Asad, the Austrian Muslim who accepted Islam. His teacher was Muhammad Abdu. That man who they attribute the Dawah Salafiyya to him. That they say was like a mujaddid. It doesn't begin with these people. It doesn't begin with Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, who some people think was a mujaddid. And it's clear that he was not a mujaddid. For all those people who want to be Wahhabi, and for those people right now who are probably shocked who think I'm a Wahhabi, this man was not a mujaddid. Rahmatullahi alayhi. He was not. Because what he brought was the aqidah of As-Salafiyyah. He didn't bring Ad-Dawah As-Salafiyyah. He brought the mazhab of Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal to the peninsula of Saudi, now called Saudi Arabia. But he was not a mujaddid. Our tajdeed should not begin with him. Our tajdeed, after renewing our iman, should begin with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let's go back and look at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began renewing Islam. And when I say Islam here, I mean renewing Tawheed, because it wasn't called Islam then. The people before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam weren't using the terminology Al-Islam. They were called Muwahidun Hunafa. Muwahidun Hunafa. People who believe in the oneness of Allah, and they are upright. And it's very interesting. This word Hunafa, which is mentioned all through the Quran, it's mentioned all through the Quran. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ حُنَفَاءَ أَوْ يُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. And so to bayyina. The only thing that they were commanded to do was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing, and to be hunafa. The singular word of hunafa is hanif. That's a singular word. And the word hanif originally means this, and the tape can't show it now, so I have to say it. It means a person who deviates or leans. That's what the word hanif literally means, a deviant. You call yourself hanifa, you call yourself a deviant. But then the word, because of the religious context of it, began to take the connotation of something good. So Allah uses this for the people of old, muwahidun, people of tawheed, the people who deviate or lean away from shirk, the people who lean away from kufr, the people who lean away and deviate from bid'ah. And this was happening in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was born, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to be for lack of better words, a mujaddid. A mujaddid among the people of his time. Now, this is the issue. How can, according to the principles of Islam and tajdid, can a person be a mujaddid for something that is not or that wasn't originally Islam? Because intrinsically, the meaning of tajdid, or the person who does tajdid, a mujaddid, is a person that he comes to sanitize and correct the error that has come into Islam. That's what doesn't make Warathuddin Muhammad a mujaddid by mere definition. Because he didn't come to renew Islam. It wasn't Islam. So he couldn't have been a mujaddid. The nation of Islam wasn't Islam. That right there alone proves that he wasn't a mujaddid. Or that he's not a mujaddid. Because the mujaddid comes to correct Islam. Something has fallen into Islam. There's wax mixed into the honey. So he comes to make tasfiyah. He comes to purify and to extract like a sifter. He pours the tawheed back into the Islam. He pours the iman back into the Islam, and what comes out, it sanitizes the kufr and the shirk and the bid'ah fall to the ground. They sweep it up and get rid of it. That's the job of a mujaddid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though there was no Islam when he came, there was tawheed from the people who were muwahidun hunafa. How do we know? Because there's many, many examples that gives us the leal for this. We know the story of Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the Christian priest or monk who knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming. He knew. And just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Jews in the Quran, which shows that they're still kuffar, even though they recognize who the Prophet was, because some Muslims, unfortunately, they haven't made tajdeed on their faith yet. They haven't made tajdeed on their aqidah, so they think just because a person recognizes the truth or recognizes that Allah is the creator, that makes them a believer. This is a big mistake. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came with this tajdeed, or when he was about to come about, when he was a boy, this Christian monk knew that he was a prophet. He saw him as a boy, and he knew because of the things that were mentioned in the Torah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they know him like they know their own son. So he knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to come. When he saw him as a child, he knew that child was different, just like Fir'aun, لَعْنَةُ alayhi. May Allah curse him. Ameen. Just like he knew that Musa, as a little boy, was a prophet. He had that feeling. He told his wife, I see her. There's something different about this little boy. Because Musa used to sit on Fir'aun's lap in the house and smack him in the face, pull his beard. He knew that little boy was different. He said, something is different. All the rest of the kids are scared of me. They're afraid of me. But this little boy, something is different. And so she said, no. No, he's no different. I'm going to prove it to you. So she took a date. And she took a piece of coal and put it in front of him and said, now if he's special, he'll pick the date. And if he's like the rest of the children in the house, he'll pick the coal. And of course he was special. He was on his way, putting his hand over next to the date. And the angel by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's amr, by his command, sent him to move his hand. He allowed him to pick up the hot coal, put it on his tongue. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةَ مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Oh my Lord, expand my breath and make my task easy for me and loosen the knot from my tongue, because the tongue got burnt, so that the people can understand. So they knew, these people knew that the prophets and messengers were going to come and make this tajdeed. And unfortunately, Waraqa ibn Nawfal, he didn't get a chance to see the Prophet's fruition. He didn't get a chance to see the tajdeed. And he died believing, inshallah ta'ala, Allah knows best, in tawheed. So this is a proof that the tawheed existed. Not Islam, but the tawheed existed. The opposite side of that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving the khutbah We're talking about the proof now that Tawheed existed. Not Islam, but that Tawheed existed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving the khutbah. A man came in and said, Aina Abi, interrupted the Messenger of Allah while he was giving the Friday khutbah, Jum'ah khutbah. He said, Aina Abi, where's my father? The Prophet said, Abuka fin nar, your father's in hell. Of course, you know, this is sad. The man walked away. And obviously, for those who pay attention to the sunnah, obviously, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation by way of Jibreel from Allah azza wa jal. He said, where's the man who asked the question? Come back. He called him back. He said, Inna abaka wa abi finnar. He said, surely, my father and your father. Your father and my father's in hell. And his father lived in a time between where there was no prophets of Allah, but he's in hell. And again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was found crying, and the Messenger of Allah companions came by and they said, Mada yukika ya Rasulullah? What makes you cry? He said, فَقَدْ اسْتَأْذَنْتُ بِرَبِّي أَنْ أَزُورَ قَبْرَ أُمِّي وَلَمْ يَأْذِنْ بِي. He said, I asked my Lord's permission to visit the grave of my mother, وَأَذِنَ بِي, and he allowed me to visit her grave, he permitted me. And I asked my Lord's permission to seek forgiveness from my mother, and he didn't permit me. Why? Because she died in Kufr. She's in the hellfire, and she lived during a time between two periods where there was no prophet. So people knew and had the Tawheed in their chest, and Allah knows best, and some people knew and didn't have the Tawheed and died on that. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to make this tajdeed. And how he began this tajdeed, brothers and sisters, is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. If you look at how the Prophet began this revivalist movement, what were some of the first things he did? Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. An example. One of the people of Islam, the Sahaba, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a cross around his neck. And we all know the story. The man's name was Adi ibn Abi Hatim. Adi ibn Hatim. Ibn Abi Hatim. Or Ibn Hatim. Radiallahu anhu. At this time he was a Christian. He came to the Messenger of Allah's city, the city of Medina, al-Nabawiyyah, which they now call Munawwara. Why, I don't know, because this is not from the Sunnah to call it al-Madina al-Munawwara, the illuminated city, but is rather al-Madina al-Nabawiyyah, the prophetic city. He came to Medina to visit his sister, and he came with a cross around his neck. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately began tajdeed. This is in the early days of Islam. And this lets us know how we give da'wah. Because some people will say that, you know, if you do it this way, it'll be offensive. But look how the Messenger of Allah did it, the kindness of human beings. He said, you worship them. Immediately, he said, you worship them. Just because they had a cross around his neck. He said, no, we don't worship them. Worship who? Meaning the priests, the monks, the bishops, the cardinals, and those things existed in those days. Cardinals and monks and priests existed in those days. He said, yes, you worship them, because whatever they say is halal, even though it's haram, don't you say it's halal? He said, of course. He said, whatever they say is haram, even though it's halal, don't you say it's haram? He said, of course. He said, then you worship them. And then he recited the verse from the Surah Tawbah, if my memory serves correctly, or Surah Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they take their monks and their priests as lords besides Allah. That was the beginning of tajdeed. To show that ibadah is not just praying and fasting. That ibadah is al-istighfar, seeking forgiveness. Is al-isti'adah, seeking refuge. Al-istighatha, seeking succor. Al-ta'ah, obedience. All of these things are forms of worship of which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to complete this faith from the millah of Ibrahim. Not just the salah, not just the siyam, but every single aspect of the Muslim's life. We find Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu. After the Prophet sent him to Yemen, the land of the mushrikun, the kuffar, the ahl kitab, We find Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, the first thing he did when he got back to Medina is what? He made sajda to the Messenger of Allah right at his feet. Made sajda to a human being, a creation of Allah. Made sajda, sujood. Made prostration to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a companion of the Messenger of Allah, one of the eminent companions of the Messenger of Allah, one of the most knowledgeable companions of the Messenger of Allah, prove once again that we're not perfect. Trying to practice a perfect being that needs tajdeed. What did the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, say to him? He said to him, what you would probably say if somebody did it to you, ماذا تفعل? What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah, Mu'adh, what are you doing? He said, Wallahi, Messenger of Allah. He said, I saw the Christians making sajda to their cardinals and their bishops. And you have more right than they do. Allahu Akbar. You see how he thought, though? You have more rights than if anybody needs to be, if from among the human beings needs to be made sajda to, you are the one needs to be made sajda to, and that's what he immediately did. And now we find out why we have this hadith that the sisters sometimes don't like, because they need to make tajdeed in their hearts. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I were to command anybody to make sajda to anyone, I would command the women to make sajda to their husbands. That's where this hadith comes from. That's the story behind it. Now we get a better picture of how to implement that hadith. But I have been commanded, we have been commanded to make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Messenger of Allah told him. So, tajdeed began there. This is the way he made tajdeed. This is the way he renewed. So, when we look back at the lives of the messengers of Allah and the prophets of Allah, and more specifically, the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find tajdeed all through his life. Kindness, consideration, respect, love for others, all types of living things, even animals. All of these things are part and parcel of making tajdeed. It may not seem like they're related, but all of these things, being kind, being respectful, being courteous, are all part of this tajdeed. Don't transfer this sacred principle of renewing Islam to some centralized location that all we have to do is raise the thawb above the ankles and grow a beard, and this is tajdeed. Or put on the niqab, and this is tajdeed. And put on the jilbab, and this is tajdeed. No, tajdeed has to permeate every single aspect of a Muslim's life. Everything. The banking system needs tajdeed for the Muslim. Because the worldwide Muslims are into riba. And I know I don't have to talk about riba again after that speech I gave last time, right? About riba, hell on an installment plan. I know I don't talk about that again, right? We need tajdeed in the banking system. We need tajdeed in the economic system. We need tajdeed in our political affairs. Look how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with the political leaders of his time. Listen to the tajdeed. He sent them a letter. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Min Muhammad Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila whoever. From Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, to whoever. Kafra, Caesar, whoever. He said, the first thing he said to them, did he say, please help the Muslims get Friday prayer off their job? Did he say to the emperors and the leaders of Persia and Rome, please allow the sister to wear a hijab as a correctional officer? What did he say to them? He said, Aslam Taslam. See, now, if we really want to follow the Sunnah, that's the way we should start our letters. Aslam, taslam. Submit, take shahada, and you'll be safe. Why? Because if you don't, we're going to come and roll on you. And basically, that's what he said. Because if you read the rest of the hadith, in his tajdeed, of course, a lot of Muslims, say, oh, you can't do that today. You know, they have nuclear, you know, bombs. You can't do that. But no, that's where it starts. Look at the rest of the hadith. He started giving him a targhib and then a tarheeb, which is the meaning of maw'idatul hasana, for those who don't know. When Allah says, udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idatul hasana, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching. Wisdom in that verse means Quran and Sunnah, verses and hadith. Verses and hadith. It doesn't mean wisdom like you say, lying to the kuffar. And now mawidatul hasana, beautiful preaching, means a targhib wa tarheeb. Go to any of the classical sound tafsirs and you'll find it. But we, of course, because we need to renew our Islam, we deviate from that verse and the meaning of it. Mawidatul hasana, beautiful preaching, handsome admonition, however they want to translate it, means a targhib and a tarheeb. To incite the kuffar with those things that they'll know that Allah's promise is true in the Jannah, that they're going to get all these fruits and vegetables and women with whatever. And all of these things Allah is going to give us in Jannah. To see Allah's face is the greatest of things. And if they don't accept that, then listen to what the Prophet said after that. Know that Allah has prepared a hellfire for you, that's sure. Which is a tarheeb. You have to intimidate them now. You have to scare them. And this is the tajdeed of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we really want to put into effect tajdeed of Islam, the revivalist movement in Islam, we have to get off of the silly notion, as we mentioned earlier, that this deen is just raising the south and knowing that Allah is over his throne and a man of befitting his majesty, and knowing what to say when somebody asks you, are you a believer or not? And you say, I'm a believer, inshallah. Knowing all these principles, alhamdulillah, are fine. But this tajdeed, brothers and sisters, has this tajdeed. This revivalist movement has to go all the way across the board. And we have to take it back to that golden chain. From the tabi'in, to the tabi'un, to the sahaba, to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he received it from Jibreel, from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's give an example of how the Muslims have deviated from the tajdeed process of the Messenger of Allah. Just in one little phrase, all around the Muslim world in Arabic, you hear the people who say they're in the revivalist movement calling Islam sahwa. They call Islam, the revivalist movement, a sahwa. Sahwa means a renaissance. Brothers and sisters, there's no such thing as renaissance in Islam. It doesn't exist. The meaning, the connotation of renaissance goes back to what the Christians were doing. And we don't do that in Islam. There's no such thing as a renaissance in Islam. There's a revivalist movement in Islam, but there's no renaissance. So the Muslims, thinking that they're reviving Islam, have adopted Christian terminology. And they claim to be in the revivalist movement. Those Christians that you see with their tents on Saturdays or Friday nights, whooping and hollering with the jinns and possess them over there, foaming from the mouth, speaking in tongues, what do they call that? A revival. To them, like some Muslims, a revival is just being happy, getting souped up from the scripture. No, brothers and sisters, for us, the Muslims who want to follow that mainstream road, that road that doesn't have a shaitan on it, inviting men to it, that road that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, هَذِ الصِّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is my way, it is straight. It is straight, so follow it. This is the commandment for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to some of the scholars of Islam, they differ on what and who is a mujaddid. They differ. Some people say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about one person. Man yujaddidu laha deenaha. The person, whoever will, and that's why they translate it as person, the person who will come at the end or the beginning of 100 years and renew Islam. Some scholars say that this means one individual. And that's why those people like Imam Shafi'i and Shawali Allah in India, they call them the Mujaddid. And if you check their lives, inshallah ta'ala, they may be correct. And Allah knows best. Other scholars of Islam say, no, it's not just centralized to one individual. It can be a whole community of individuals. It can be a Mujaddid or Yujaddidu.